Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
We say, God, break this addiction, and you be the authority over my life so I don't feel like I'm thrown to and fro by the chaos in my life.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Ashley Willis.
It means breaking the anger that is in your home, not allowing that anger to be the authority, not allowing that to change how you think about your spouse and how you think about your circumstances, but allowing God to be your authority, where he says you're a masterpiece, that he has good plans for you. And we say, God, let it be. It means breaking the chain of anxiety and depression in your life. It means breaking the chains of even an illness you are facing where you feel like you are powerless. That is not your authority. Yes, there are real diagnoses that we all face, but we cannot allow it to be our authority. We must say, God, you are still my authority. We know you don't waste pain. Lord, be the king over my life.
Hear more from Ashley's heart at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL, call or text. Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner and Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open every night for dinner. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Monday, everyone. It's Susanna Luthi with Free Talk California. Fresh off chicken plucking processing. It was on my bucket list. You'd think I would have done it sooner, living on a ranch and doing our own meat. But instead, we just weren't eating chicken because I was really scared of chopping off the chicken heads. But I didn't do the chopping. I did wring a neck. Hope that's not too gory. But anyway, we did about a dozen chickens yesterday. And I just kept thinking, the problem with the world is that no one is connected with the food supply anymore, or hardly anyone. If everyone had to kill that chicken before they could make fried chicken or chicken parmesan or chicken salad, people would be worried about a lot less ridiculous stuff. All right. That reminds me that I love to tune out. I have been tuning out from politics for the most part. I'm off of social media. I hardly listen to podcasts. And when I'm not preparing for this show, I kind of pretend all the crazy stuff in the world isn't happening. But then I do check back because I do host this show. And I see that commies seem to be winning everywhere. In a matter of a few years, they've completely, it appears, just about completely taken over the Democratic Party. Maybe back in, was it 2018 when AOC had that upset win in New York? I was covering Congress at the time. It was a real shock. No one in D.C. was even paying attention to that race. Joe Crowley, who was the Democrat she unseated in her New York City for her New York City district, was in line to be the speaker. The saying was that he was literally measuring the drapes in order to refurbish Nancy Pelosi's office. That's what an upset that was. Back then, maybe the Democrats could have said, okay, you guys are socialists. Don't run on our platform. Do what the libertarians have to do. And try to run as a third party. But no, they didn't. And now we have a major party literally bringing communists into the House. I listened to a clip of, I think it was the co-chair of the DSA, how she was talking about, yes, want to abolish the Senate. Yes, want to abolish ICE. Yes, want to abolish borders. Yes, want to give the government the sacred right to confiscate private property. This is all their roadmap that they are laying out. And it sounds so ridiculous. But then I think of all that I have seen and continue to see out of the California legislature, while where most of us are heads down, not paying too much attention, trying to enjoy life, all these laws get sneaked in that nobody knows about, nobody calls about. And the commie activists, frankly, who seem to be running Sacramento policy, they do run it. I saw firsthand. And our assembly men and women and state senators, not the brightest bulbs, and they can just repeat like robots, oh, any dissent is right-wing and conservative, even if it comes from women from San Francisco who are lining up and saying, you know, we're lesbians, we're long diehard Democrats, and we oppose this. This is all crazy. And they just shut them all out. And somehow it, according to polls, the thing that seems to resonate most with at least the population of Californians that is getting polled is that Trump is bad, even though Trump also got a very, very high number of votes in California. So there's all that. And then there's the disconnect between what seems to be the mood even here in California. I'm going to, this just kind of struck me because I'm very behind the whole top 40 thing. I never know what new artists are because I just don't. I don't listen to new artists anymore. About 15 years ago, I prided myself in keeping up with all the latest in music. I don't anymore. But anyway, I heard Ella Langley's Jews in Texas. I liked it. I decided to download her album, the whole album. And I saw that this one song called, oh, let's see, what is it? Be Her, I think. Yes, it's Be Her. It was her number two single. It peaked number two on Billboard. And the only reason it didn't reach number one was because Jews in Texas was so much catchier, and that took it. So anyway, listen to the lyrics of this song. She drank wine by the glass, not by the bottle. This is a big cultural shift. Big cultural shift. When I was in my 20s and 30s, the songs would all about be about how great it was to, you know, drink wine out of a bottle and drink the whole thing and not care. All right, so that's the first line. She ain't stuck on the past, ain't worried about tomorrow. She's a lover, a mother, a sister, and wife. She rolls over in the morning to the love of her life. Only smokes on one vacation, says just what she thinks. She don't need validation or much of anything. I just want to be her so bad. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. That's the chorus. She knows being rich is just a state of mind. She stays talking to Jesus, calls her mama all the time. She don't over embellish. If she says it, then it's true. I don't mean to sound jealous, but what could I do? Because I just want to be her so bad. So bad. Blah, blah, blah. Don't want all this drama. Give me something real. Trade a mile high to walk one in her heels. Take all my money, everything I have. I just want to be her. I just want to be her so bad. That is a huge culture shift. The fact that that song is number two is a shift. And if that's the mood, give me that mood over the mood of rap stars talking about decadent and disgusting things all the time. But even if that's the mood, it might take a long time for that mood to catch on and to start reflecting in policy. So that's what brings me to our guest today. Mood is one thing, reality as it's been created for us by crazy commies like the DSA, who have been working very, very hard in California, very much behind the scenes. It's why probably the Democratic Party wasn't interested in giving the DSA the boot when they still could, because the infiltration has been happening for many years. Even so-called mainstream Democrats in California have been following the radical DSA far left. Those two, you know, are synonymous. Those two terms are synonymous. They have been following that for a very long time. So, yes, my guest today is a woman named Shanna Gaviola. I had not heard of her before last week. And then I received an urgent email from Erin Friday, who is one of my sources. She's been on the show. She does all of our parents' work for us in Sacramento. She works incredibly, incredibly hard. She herself is thankfully on vacation for once. I texted her to see if she could come on to discuss the case, because she had sent me this urgent email saying, please send a letter to President Trump, to basically the pardon line at the DOJ, requesting an urgent pardon for this woman, Shanna Gaviola, from California. All right, so this is Shanna's story. I'll just lay it out before she calls in, and we'll drill down into the story, and she'll talk about how to read the signs that something crazy imposed by the outside world, imposed by policy, imposed by the courts, could happen to you. Shanna is from Clovis. She is a single mom of four. Her oldest son decided that he was a girl, but he didn't really decide it. And a school counselor decided it for him, but this led her down all this rabbit hole that landed her with a federal indictment and led her to this pending deadline. I believe it's next week. She is due to surrender herself to federal prison if she does not get this pardon. So let's take a look at this first started story first started percolating for her about five years ago, but her son was 13. 5 years ago was peak woke. And shortly after that, we started seeing all these headlines of parents losing their children due to transgenderism. I just did this quick search for headlines of parents losing custody, and this is just a few of the hits. So from 2022, headline, how a dad lost custody of son after questioning his transgender identity. Also from 2022, Indiana parents lose custody after court rules not affirming child's gender identity is abuse. And then later that year from that same case, the state Supreme Court rejects appeal from parents who lost custody of trans teen. All right, moving forward, past peak woke, 2024, Trump's about to get elected. California father loses suit over child's gender-affirming care. The top net graph of the story is California father can't proceed on constitutional claims against medical providers who, he said, performed gender-affirming surgery on his transgender child over his objections, a federal court said. All right, November 2024, also California. Father loses custody of son for trying to prevent his gender transition. I lost all parental rights to my children. Goodbye, boys. Maybe we'll meet when they're adults, wrote the father. From May 2024, Montana, yes, a red state, Montana parents who lost custody of daughter after opposing gender transition claim their 14-year-old, this just kills me, was taken without warrant. All right, so with all those headlines, that's the context that Shanna was fighting in. And as when I was questioning whether I should do this segment, I just kept thinking, what would I do if any of my babies whom I've known from the womb got caught up in this gender cult, which I've seen firsthand? It's so incredibly evil. I'm watching a family I know now just going along with it. And I don't know if they like it. I've offered resources. I've offered contact with Erin and other parents who've been through this, who might want to fight it. No reply. They are faced with California's full political, legal, social, in some cases, even around here, and definitely our state's taxpayer-funded activist class, who's got lots and lots of funding in Gavin Newsom's huge budget. They've got them all lined up against them. So anyway, back to Shanna's story. So that's the context. So as I said, she's a single mother of four. Her oldest son, Blake, at age 13, came to her and said he wanted to be called Brianna. And according to him, this was because his school psychologist said that he is trans and he should get trans surgery. 13 years old. Well, Shanna didn't even know that he was seeing a school psychologist. And she said, no, you're not getting surgery. And he said, well, the school psychologist said that he could do the surgery without her consent. So this has just hit her. Meanwhile, she's got her youngest child, who's only 3 years old, and then two other children who are in the middle. She didn't want to get them all confused about what was going on. So she decided to turn to a friend of hers to help her and Blake kind of take him out of the family situation so the other kids didn't see and just kind of get everything straightened out. So he goes and stays with his friend for the summer. And then Shanna says, all right, come back home. And the so-called friends said, No, she had decided to go ahead and quote unquote affirm this transition of the son. And then she said that you can't get the son because he put a restraining order on you. So then there was this question of the restraining order. Shanna said, okay, there's no restraining order. Thought she confirmed that, and then decides to find a boarding school. Have known lots of parents who've done this. Find a boarding school that deals with some troubled kids, might keep them out of whatever influence that they had. Calls this boarding school that's in Missouri, which is how the feds got involved, and enrolls him. Well, they come to pick him up, and then this leads to, and Shanna will go more into this, this leads to this big fight. The friend, the so-called friend, former friend, calls Blake's father, gets him to pick up the son from the boarding school in Missouri, come back, and then Shanna loses custody. Well, through all this, lots and lots of back and forth, Shanna wasn't able to talk about her case. She was under court gag orders. And she also had all these other children to take care of, wanted to protect them from the gender crazy. Trust me, if you have not come into contact with it, thank your lucky stars. Pray that you don't have to. Anyway, so she couldn't really talk, but she was able to get nonprofit legal representation from a group called the American Rights Alliance, which basically takes hopeless cases. I guess I was reading up there on their website. She went to court, lost, got this federal indictment. Throughout the court process, basically what it looked like, what the jury heard, was nothing about transgenderism, nothing about anything other than that Shanna was a quote-unquote controlling mother and that she violated a restraining order against that control by her son and had him carted away against his will to this boarding school. As kind of a spoiler alert, after all of that, she was able to prevent him from getting trans surgeries. I guess he was put on the drugs and hormones there for a while. She was able to stop it. She'll talk a little bit about that. But Blake is now 18. Technically, he could transition himself now. He's considered an adult. And he's decided not to. He's decided he is a boy. He is a man, young man. So after all that, he did not go through with it. They are still estranged. And as I mentioned, she is due to surrender herself to federal authorities on August 19th. That's the broad sweep of the story. And she will be calling in shortly after our ad break to go more in depth. And I would welcome if any of you are dealing with any of this or know someone dealing with this, please do call in. But this story is a really good reminder that Trump can win. Maybe Shanna will get this pardon that so many parents around California and elsewhere are asking for her. But the system is really stacked against us. And maybe that is why the DSA is kind of sweeping everything. Because for the last dozens of years at this point, when it comes to school curriculum and university curriculum and all the institutions, they are basically brainwashing, indoctrinating all the crazy stuff that the DSA is saying. And so when these DSA candidates come up and they say things we think are absolutely insane, well, look at our California laws where the word woman does not even exist. Look at California policy where our taxpayer dollars are going to import and protect from export and deportation illegal immigrants, including criminals. Our policies basically say there are no borders, there are no people. All of these things are set more and more in stone in our state. So we normal people who like to tune out and pluck chickens on the weekend have a lot to do, a lot to do, more than just voting. All right, so all that said, stay with us. We'll be right back after these messages to meet and chat with Shanna. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. President Trump adding a new demand in peace talks with Iran. Fox's Jared Halpern reports from the White House.
President Trump says he is now demanding compensation from Iran for people killed or wounded by roadside bombs and other terror attacks.
Tuesday's primaries include South Carolina, where Senator Darlene Graham, sister of the late Senator Lindsey Graham, faces a crowded field of GOP hopefuls. Senator Graham at today's renaming of Joint Base Charleston to Joint Base Lindsey Graham.
It was sometimes hard to tell if Lindsey was a senator who happened to serve in the Air Force or an Air Force lawyer who happened to serve in the Senate. Such was his love for both.
She's endorsed by President Trump. More than 100 people are reported dead after a powerful 7.4 magnitude earthquake hit Western Colombia today. Rescue operations are underway. America's listening to Fox News.
Vicki Silva is your North County real estate professional with over 40 years of real estate experience in Paso Robles and the surrounding North County communities. Selling your home can be a life-altering experience, so it's important that the sale is handled with care and professionalism. Let Vicki Silva take care of it all for you. Give her a call today at RE/MAX Parkside in Paso Robles, 805-610-2650. Vicki Silva, 610-2650.
Hello and welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi and we are joined by Shanna Gabiola, who's here in California to talk about, man, you've got a saga, Shanna.
Yes, I do.
And I've got so many questions for you. And if any listeners want to call in, you can always call in at 238-5775-238-KPRL. You can also text that number too. Forgot about that. All right. So I guess my first question, very basic. Before your son asked you to start calling him a girl and treating him like a girl, did you have any hint that something was off?
Well, yes. So his behavior kind of started going downhill probably about 4 or 5 months prior. He had been exposed to a video game that, you know, I just thought was on the Xbox, just a normal video game. It was called The Ark. But on there, he had disguised his voice as like a girl's voice. Mm-hmm. And then made his character a female character. So I think stemming kind of from that, I realized that, you know, he was changing. He was, starting to identify as a female. And, you know, that was the first hint before he came home from school and sat me down and told me that he wanted to be called Brianna, and that the school counselor had told him that they would start calling him that at school, and that he should sit me down and talk to me at home so that we could start calling him Brianna at home.
Did he say this just to you or to your other kids too?
No, he said it to me and my daughter, who at the time was, I believe, 10 or 11. My youngest was like 5 or 6. And I just told him absolutely not. You know, that's, my kids are way too young. My other children would not understand as well, as, you know, he was not a girl. He was a boy. And that, you know, there's two genders. And, you know, I kind of went through all of that with him. He got extremely angry and told me that the counselor told him that when he was 15 years old, if he wanted to transition behind my back, that they could legally do that.
Wow. So this is all happening to you. Did you have any exposure to any of this kind of cultish gender stuff before he came to you?
No. No, this was my very first time having to deal with anything like that.
Wow. And did you have any weird interactions at his school with anyone before? Anything that would give you a hint that someone was influencing them there?
No. Nope. And I was very involved. I was very involved with all of the kids' school. They knew me down there. Nothing before this happened.
Wow. That's so scary. Was it only the counselor or were teachers treating him as a girl too?
No, it was, so as soon as he, and you know, I was not able to get his school records released to me until much, much later. But it wasn't until I believe about 3 months into him telling them that he wanted to transition where a few of the teachers got on board. One of the teachers apparently, you know, and I can't speak for the teacher. I can just tell you what I was told. Told him that it was okay for him to use the girls' bathroom. But then when he did, he went in there and exposed himself and urinated in the sink in front of little girls that were in there. Mm. So I believe there were some teachers that were involved. But there was a transition person who was assigned to him. And this is not a therapist. This isn't a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist. This is basically someone who has no qualifications to deal with any kind of psychological disorder. It's just like a teacher's aide. And they work with the school district, inside the school district. And she was assigned to him. And then after the moment that I was on a call with the principal and let her know that I did not approve of the transitioning, after that moment, they stopped calling me and alerting me to what was going on.
Oh, wow. So just some random person was brought in just to talk him, help him act like a girl.
Correct. And it's in almost, I believe, all of the school districts. So they're called transition people or transition teams or transition person.
Oh, I didn't know that. They've actually hired people to do this?
Yes. Yeah. And if you look it up, so J.C. Tool was the lady's name who was brought in with him. But yeah, they, as soon as they say, I want to transition, or I feel like I'm a girl, or I feel like I'm a boy. They have people that they bring in that talk to your children behind your back without your knowledge.
So if your son had decided not even to tell you, this might have gone on without you even knowing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you told the school that you did not approve. They just stopped talking. What did you do next?
Well, so after, I believe it was probably about 8 months, it kind of subsided in the household. So we talked about it, and then, you know, I rejected it. I refused to do that. And then it kind of seemed as if it subsided. So he didn't talk more about it, and it kind of went down, like, you know, kind of went away for a brief period of time. However, it was only at home. So once I was able to get his school records, he had gotten in trouble for going to school wearing a bra outside of his shirt, wearing long press-on nails that were distracting to the other kids. He was wearing like a wig. It was like a blue wig.
Who is giving him these things?
Another little girl who was wanting to transition into a boy was bringing stuff for him to school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they did not tell you any of this stuff?
They didn't tell me anything. None of those things was I made aware of or called about whatsoever.
Wow. All right, so yeah. Things seem normal. And then at this point, according to the story, your story that I read, you turned to a friend to help?
I did, yeah. So actually, Blake started to date a little girl, and she was the daughter, well, adopted daughter of this woman, Susan. And he told me that he met her at a church function. And about, you know, 2 months later, I met the mom, and we became really good friends, very close. And it turns out that she was pro him transitioning. And they knew that he wanted to transition, and the little girl knew that he wanted to transition. And, you know, they were for it.
Was this the little girl bringing him clothes?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what happened? What happened then? She took him in?
No. So, timelines are hard. I wish I had it right in front of me. I'm just giving you estimate timelines. So, about 5 months after he started dating this little girl, he was arrested. He was arrested for molesting our neighbor's 7-year-old son. So he was 15 years old. And he molested the neighbor's son, forced this child to do sexual acts to him. And one of the times he did it in front of my son, who was the child's best friend. So it was my youngest son's best friend. And, you know, I was at work and they were in the house. And, you know, my 15-year-old was there, you know, with no adults, but he was 15, and he, you know, lured this child into the room, did these things. So he admitted to it, told the police he did it, was arrested, was charged, was put in juvenile for 3 days, and given 6 months of therapy. And that was it.
Hmm. This is so interesting you said this, because the first girl that I knew who transitioned, that was one of the first things she did, was she started acting out on her little sister's friends. And her little sister, her parents didn't know, her little sister told me.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how sick that culture is. And
yep.
It all comes really, really sick.
Yeah, it's always like entwined, because I've heard, of course, now I've heard so many stories, you know, so many people have shared their stories with me. And there's always generally like stemming from childhood, like some sexual interaction or molestation or abuse that leads these children into this behavior. With him, he said that it was his cousin, which was at his dad's mom's house. and like they inappropriately touched each other. But she was only maybe a year or two older than him. You know, it doesn't justify what ended up happening later on, but it does kind of start, you know what I mean, that you know, inquisitive nature in a sexual manner, I guess, early. Mm.
So how did this woman end up turning him against you and started getting restraining orders?
Well, so while he was living there, I found out that she was allowing him to be a gateway or an instructor at an ice skating center. And this ice skating center where he was the instructor at, he was the instructor for children that were under 10. So I told her, I was like, absolutely not. He's not doing that. She knew what he was charged with. She knew, like, that's why he was staying at her house. So he was staying at her house because he had been sharing a room with his brother, and obviously that wasn't appropriate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had called his dad and called his grandmother, you know, just asking for help, which neither one of them had ever been involved or helped, you know, any other time. But I was just in a really bad position with what was going on. And she had a place in her home that was, like, separated, you know, from the rest of the house. So she allowed him to stay there, which is a red flag in of itself, you know, looking back. But again, I was just in a very difficult situation with children at my home that I needed to protect.
Yes, absolutely.
And so when I told her he wasn't allowed to go to the or be an ice skating instructor anymore, she told me, okay, absolutely. Like, you know, I didn't really think about it. And her response, you know, made me feel comfortable, and like it was probably, you know, nothing malicious. And then fast forward to 3 months later, a friend of mine called me and said he was still, you know, around small children, and she had just witnessed him taking a little boy outside of the ice skating center into the bathroom. And that concerned her because she knew of the charges.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. And so I said, absolutely not. He's not doing that. And it was the summer. So I was like, he's going to come back home. We're going to figure it out. You know, I'm going to make plans. And so once I said that, he came back home. He asked me, he was like, can I just go say goodbye? Like, can I just have some time to say goodbye to them? Because he'd been staying there. I honestly didn't think anything of it, you know? Because the red flags and the alert were just her allowing him to do that. Not any of the things that ended up coming out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So, I let him go and say goodbye, and he was supposed to be back home for an orthodontist appointment, and he didn't come back home. And I called her, and she texted and said, that he was hanging out with friends, making cake pops, that he was going to be running a little bit late. And I never talked to, heard, or had any communication with my son after that day.
Oh, wow.
So she took him down. This was 2021 in June. Took him down to the courthouse and showed him and told him to file a restraining order and file for emancipation.
Wow. And he was only 15.
Correct.
Wow. All right. So this leads to, you tried to get him into a boarding school. And
so my initial plan was to relocate back to Tennessee, where I'm from and where our family's at. And my kids were already there for the summer. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to relocate back. We're going to try to figure this out. You know, I'm going to try to see what I can do family-wise, you know, move back there. And then when this happened, I called an attorney that was here in California, let her know everything that was going on. She looked up to see if there was a restraining order. She said that it wasn't signed by a judge, that it was filed, but it was not signed or approved. And then she asked me a very honest question. She said, you know, you want to go to court and we can go through this whole thing and you can pay me to represent you. She's like, it's going to be $7,000. And then he's going to be back with you. What are you going to do then? You know, like, what are your plans? Because he's going to be back in your house. Like, you're not an unfit mom. You've never been, you know, I'm not a criminal. I've never been in trouble. I've raised, you know, four other children. She's like, but what are you going to do then? And so that left me with a very serious, you know, question. What am I going to do?
Well, that actually is a good point to leave off. We are getting the warning music for our ad break.
Yeah.
So anyway, we will be right back. And then we'll just have a few minutes to finish up, unfortunately. So we'll have to rush through the all the drama next, but we'll lead with the call to action. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California. I'm Suzanne Luthy. Be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week lower as investors monitor U.S.-Iran developments and await consumer price inflation data that will be released on Wednesday morning. The reading will likely help determine the Fed's path for interest rates. Oil prices spiking on U.S.-Iran uncertainty, with West Texas Intermediate crude rising over $82 a barrel. Shares of airlines fell on rising oil prices. Energy and healthcare were the best performing sectors, while tech lagged. However, shares of Apple fell 1.5% following a downgrade from Jefferies. An analyst with the firm believes that the new iPhone design won't materialize anytime soon. The Dow winners, Chevron, Amgen, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Travelers, Sherwin-Williams, and NVIDIA. The Dow down 61 points, the Nasdaq lower by 85, S&P 500 down 5. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive presents Heroes That Keep Truckers Going. Today's hero, the true crime podcaster you listen to during a long haul. Yes, you may never look at a pair of pliers the same way again. Or your spouse using pliers. But boy, you are entertained. Thanks, hero. Another thing that can keep truckers going, Progressive Truck Insurance with primary liability limits up to $2 million. Get a quote at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $2 million limit is not available in all states.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthy, and I'm joined by Shanna Gaviola, a California mother who is facing surrender to federal authorities after fighting for her son in the gender cult. Okay, so you made a plan for a boarding school. I think I actually want to skip forward actually to the trial, just so we can get as much of your story in as possible. So, so what were the charges against you, and what happened at the trial?
So the charges against me were a violation of an interstate travel with a protection order. So it's basically when you violate a protection order and you cause someone to travel through interstate lines. that's what made it become a federal case.
And your son was, you had brought your son across state lines to go to this other boarding school.
So I enrolled him in the boarding school. The boarding school has a transport company, and it consists of two off-duty sheriff's deputies that go and they pick up the kids and they take them to the boarding school. One of the deputies actually graduated the boarding school, which was, I thought, kind of a great look for them when I was researching. It was a great boarding school. It was a Christian boarding school. It was one that dealt with the therapeutic aspect, of the issues my son was dealing with. During the trial, I don't know how much you want me to get into how we ended up where we were at with the trial, but the prosecutor was removed from my case for sexual misconduct. And once he was removed, I was supposed to be transferred to the Northern District of California by a judge's orders, and another judge overrode those orders, bringing me back and having me prosecuted by one of his friends and colleagues.
Oh, wow.
They brought in a judge who is an activist judge. He's the judge who blocked Trump's Birthright Citizenship Act, and then also went on 60 Minutes talking about how horrible MAGA is and Trump supporters. So they brought him in to be my judge, and he gave me, I believe, 7 orders in limine, which are gag orders. I couldn't say why the restraining order was brought on, what allegations. So the fact that I made him do chores, the fact that he had to watch his brothers and sisters, that I allowed him to get a tattoo, those were the reasons for the restraining order. And I wasn't allowed to say them. I wasn't allowed to bring in my custody order outside of the state of Tennessee. I wasn't allowed to say that he was arrested for molesting a child. I wasn't allowed to speak at all on his sexuality or gender, or any of the issues that I was facing. Basically, I wasn't allowed to defend myself at all. So during my trial, I chose not to take the stand and talk, because the judge made it very clear that if I did violate any of those orders, he was going to hold me in contempt, put me in jail, and we were going to have a new jury. We can do that as many times as we need to. So,
Who appointed this judge? Obama?
Yes. Yeah, no, he did not. No, I'm sorry. He was a Reagan-appointed judge. And he was, right, so he switched over sometime in the middle.
Okay.
And, is just an extreme,
it happens.
Know, what they call it.
Turncoat, they're
so,
often the
worst. He was awful. He was so terrible. He would not let my attorney speak at all. If you read any of the transcripts, you would be like, okay, well, my attorney wasn't allowed to ask any questions. Susan, the woman, had paid my ex-husband $20,000 to pick up my son from the boarding school because the police didn't get him because nothing that was done was illegal.
Right.
So my ex-husband went and got him and brought him back to this woman for money. Everyone knows it. It's right there in all of the documentation. However, we weren't allowed to say that either. We weren't allowed to bring that up. It was a nightmare. It was like just watching. If I was the jury, I would have said the same thing, like with what they heard and what they were allowed to hear and without any of my side. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's nothing that I could do to defend myself.
How did you find support and just kind of stay? I think I wanted you to say you're talking about how you're worried that this whole situation would change you.
How did you
hold strong through it all?
Honestly, faith. Without God, I don't think I would have been able to make it through much of that. I have a really, really good support system. It's small, but it's a good support system. I have a good group of women at my church, as well as just supporters that have been here through pretty much all of this case. Erin Friday came in kind of at the end of it, but man, has she gone to bat for me. Trennis Evans with the American Rights Alliance and Condemned USA, Peter Tichton, George Palace, Dylan Barquette, like just these attorneys that came in and defended me, and I didn't have any money to fight the federal government.
No.
But they came in and they did it for free. So that was the support, and I was extremely worried about who I was going to be afterwards. You know, just this alone, losing my son, my baby. You know, I was his mom from my entire adult life. I was his mom. So losing him, not speaking to him, I really did think that I was just going to come out of this not the same person and not myself. And luckily, I did. I came out. I'm definitely different, and I'm definitely changed and a little jaded, obviously. But I'm luckily still me. And I was very worried that that wasn't going to be the case, that that was going to destroy me, and I was never going to be the same. So, you know, now as I count down to the days, which were like 11, for me to turn myself in to federal prison for 3 years.
Wow. So Aaron is sending out a petition for people to send to the DOJ asking for a pardon. I did that. I sent that, and I hope that. Well, is there any appeal pending?
So we filed appeal, and we've requested that I stay out on bail. So that's up to the Ninth Circuit. You know, getting bail while out on appeal isn't always very common, but I do have very good appellate issues.
Is the evidence that was withheld before the Ninth Circuit for this decision?
Yes, and then also, you know, being prosecuted by the same prosecutors, you know, friends and coworkers in Fresno, you know, where the prosecutor was removed is also a big issue.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I guess I was facing probation, you know, and then I was prosecuted to the full extent by one of his colleagues who was extremely nasty and mean throughout the entire time, and went after my character and my person, which the first prosecutor never did. So I very much believe that I'm going to prison for having the prosecutor removed from my case. He also lost his, he was about to become judge. He lost his place on the bench.
Wow. All right. In the last couple of minutes, what would you tell parents or grandparents of children who are going through something like your son? And what if everyone around them is telling them to just do what the schools and the powers that be want and let the kids do? What would you do? What would you give them?
I would say at the first sign of any of that, to pull your kid out of school. Homeschool, take them and try to find a Christian school or a private school that does not promote that ideology. But move as fast as you can and stay vigilant and aware of what's going on their phone, on social media. I wasn't aware and I wasn't vigilant because, you know, we didn't have that when I was growing up. So I would just say to all parents, like, just stay aware of your kids' friends, of, you know, what they're doing on social media, what, you know, what's going on. And the first sign of that at school, it needs to be a drastic move. I would just pull your kids out of school and either try to find, you know, a Christian school or a school that doesn't promote that ideology, or homeschool. Because it goes really fast.
Yes. Where can people find your case to support you?
It's on the Gateway Pundit. We're on the Real America's Voice. There's, you know, Erin Friday. You can reach out to her. Those are the places right now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll follow what happens. What a nightmare. And thank you for staying strong. And thanks to all of you for listening to Shanna's story. We will be back next week. Man, August is barreling down, and we're all getting ready to go back to school where gender ideology is winning the day. So yes, be vigilant with your kids. Not to scare you, but be vigilant. All right. You listen to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthy. I'll see you next week.
Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.